Welcome to Answers May Vary. Each week, we listen to your dilemmas and try to come up with workable solutions you can put into place to start improving your teaching life today. I'm Kate Harkins.
And I'm Stephanie Handley.
And together with you, we're Three Heads. Today's dilemma. I'm getting lost in the debates over the best way to handle student grades. Traditional grading, standards-based grading, getting rid of the zero, and amidst it all, I'm feeling pressure from my school and district not to give out too many low grades. I've always believed grades should reflect mastery of content, but I do want to account for effort. I have students who work really hard but just struggle with English. How do I find a balance between all these different approaches?
Join the club.
Yeah, no kidding. This is hard. It is really hard. I think all the different arguments have merit to them. It's hard to find an approach that you feel comfortable with that kind of addresses all the issues with the different approaches. Mm-hmm. And it's more of an issue now than it ever has been.
Right. And I think also it's going to be dependent upon your school and your district, what they're even open to. There's probably ways to work around all of these to make them fit what you feel comfortable with. But overall, I would say it depends on your school and your district, but it is hard. And I think that it's hard as a teacher to determine what's correct. I know as a parent, it's hard to decide what do I think is the best approach. And then also, what do I think grades represent?
And as a tutor now, helping individual students navigate and seeing how different teachers handle grades raises a lot of questions for me and concerns, and what is the best way to approach this?
Yeah.
So we've always been probably leaning more toward the mastery side of the scale. I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. We've always viewed, especially in high school, transcripts as this is telling a college how ready you are to engage in college level work. So I think we've always felt, okay, but if you can't read, if you can't write at a proficient level, that should be reflected in your grade, that it shouldn't just be about whether you can get your work done or not. When we taught AP, we felt their scores on the exam should be somewhat related to how they do in our class.
We've also, in talking about like standards-based grading, and we've had multiple conversations with, usually with counselors, about, oh, the student is capable, and when they do the work, they do good work, but they choose not to do the work. And it's like, the counselor will then say, so then shouldn't they have a higher grade? Well, I don't think that a grade is just what a student can do, because a lot of what school is about is learning how to function in society. When I was growing up, I every year asked my mom to do homeschooling. My relationship with school is complicated, but every year I would ask her to do that. And she would say, I don't send you to school to learn the subject matter. If that was it, then yeah, I would homeschool you.
Yeah.
But school teaches you how to function in society.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going there for. And that's why she wouldn't homeschool me. But that was before there were all kinds of options for homeschooling cohorts and things like that.
I bet she'd let you know.
Oh, yeah. I think she would know. But I think that there is an element of learning how to function in society, learning how to work with different people, learn how to work with people who have different expectations. I think all of that is really a part of the whole process of schooling. So in my opinion,
that actions have consequences, I think, is a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't think that a student who is capable of doing the work and chooses not to should get a C because they chose not to do the work. And there need to be consequences for that decision.
And that's so not fair for those students who put in every effort. They do their very best work all the time. And then a student who just skates through and gets an A on the test gets the same grade as them. There's just something that's unfair about that.
And I think And maybe I feel comfortable with that position because I also, on the other side, don't feel that a student who does all of their work and tries really hard deserves a higher grade either.
Yeah.
So I suppose for me, that's how I reconcile it is just because you do all the work,
right?
Because you have that discussion too. They did all the work. Okay, that doesn't mean that we have mastered what it is that we are doing. So I think part of it is you reflecting on what do you want the grade to indicate you value. I think that a student earns the grade that you give them, but the parameters of that are something that you set. And I think every teacher sets that regardless of how in step a school or a PLC or whatever is, or how like loosey-goosey you're on your own. What grade a student gets is an indicator of what that teacher values because they are going to place weight on the things that they value more than others.
Yeah. And I think as Kate mentioned, we don't feel like, well, we've always prioritized mastery. At the same time, we do want to prioritize effort. There are students who struggle, but they work really hard. Do they deserve to fail? Probably not. Do they deserve an A? No. And so there's a balancing act for those students as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when you said that, I had a student who was in AP and she would always ask me what she could do to raise her grade. And I would say the things that she would need to do in order to raise her grade. And then there was a part where it was like, part of it is your ability to do these things. And I remember her mom, she wasn't upset with me, but she was frustrated. And I understood why she was frustrated. The daughter was doing everything she could do, but she was out of her depth in the subject matter. And that always felt awkward to me.
Yeah.
I think any student who wants to be in any class should have access to that class. But I feel like there also needs to be an asterisk next to it. When you have that sort of a system, that also means that there's a potential for failure.
Yeah.
And you need to be aware of that. Yes, you have access to this AP class. And yes, both you and I believe that if you want to take on that challenge, you should be able to take on that challenge. But just because we share that belief doesn't mean that I'm then going to say, okay, because you're out of your depth, I'm going to lower my standards so that you get the grade that you want in order to be competitive for college. Because I don't get to, nor do you get to, tell a whole story about the grade on your transcript. It's just a letter. So because that is so limited, I have to, for me to feel comfortable, I have to say, okay, what makes you prepared for college and demonstrates you're ready for it is a C or better. And so if you haven't demonstrated that you would be able to do that work at the college level, then that's what it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I can't say, oh, but they work really hard. They try really hard. Whatever.
And it doesn't help anyone to be dishonest about that. It doesn't help the college. It doesn't help the student. Mm-hmm. And so it is a difficult situation that I think it's a whole separate topic in terms of counseling for students going into these courses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always creates these kind of sticky situations.
Yeah. And I feel like by the time the student is in the class and earning the grade and they're getting to the point where, and we all know this, that there's a point in the semester where it's like, your grade is what it is.
Return.
Unless you literally don't do something.
Right. It's going to be about what it is.
It's going to be pretty close within a point or two of what it is. And it feels like that's not the right time to have the conversation, but I'm not there when you're making the decision to be in the class. And we have done that where we've gone and we've spoken to the classes and said, okay, if X, Y, and Z isn't of interest to you, if you're not willing to do X, Y, Z, you probably shouldn't take the class, and you choose to do it anyway. I don't know what to say.
I think the one other kind of one that we've struggled with is, especially in recent years, is the argument about that gap between a 0 and a 50 is so much greater than the gap between the other grade levels. And so that discussion about what should an F be set at, that's such a hard one because I completely understand that argument, especially math wise. And it does make a lot of sense, but we've had experiences with this. And when students aren't doing the work, it massively inflates the grades when you implement a system like that. And so I think it's another approach where there are, I get it, I'm sympathetic to it, but in and of itself, that has issues also.
Yeah, it's the thing that makes that case against the 0 or whatever very difficult is that then it becomes like a playing of the numbers game where a student is starting to pick and choose what they do and don't do in order to manipulate their grade. And I don't think that's the message that we want to send. When initially, when we were told we couldn't give a 0 anymore and we had to give a 50, it was like, absolutely not. That's the worst. I don't care what the math says, that kind of thing. And I think we came around to see, okay, there are situations where, yes, we don't want to over-penalize somebody. But the problem with that 50 is that it really favors doing a few things, getting a good grade on it, and then blowing off everything you're just not interested in.
Yeah.
And ending up with an overly high grade.
And it's funny because that doesn't come through on paper. If you read an article about it, like that's not evident, or you can argue, what about the students who it does benefit? But in having had a district that tried to implement that, really what we were seeing was not that it was helping struggling students, that it was letting students off the hook and letting them manipulate their grades in that way. And I don't know what the answer is for that element. We didn't quite get that ever worked out, but it's just another example of these approaches to grading where we do see both sides. Like there is an aspect where mastery is the most important and then an aspect for effort. But then what do you do between a kid who tries and struggles versus a kid who doesn't try? How do you account for all these different things?
Yeah. And I remember showing people at the district office, this is your policy, and then look at it in my grade book, how it actually works out. And then being like, we had never thought of it.
Yeah.
We didn't think it would work that way.
Yeah. And I don't think you would know that unless you're a classroom teacher with an Aries grade book who's implementing these things and seeing, because it is like what comes out on paper and in theory is often so different from what practically happens.
I even said that because I was on a task force about it. I even said, I feel like parents don't really understand grades. And if I just looking at the difference between myself and my husband just looks at the overall grade and I'm looking over each individual assignment and what are these categories and how much are they worth. And so we were talking about on the task force that what the average parent looks at and what message is that sending.
Yeah.
And then if parents had a full picture, would they be comfortable with?
Yes.
And probably not. Probably not.
I think as with many things that we've talked about before on the podcast, we've shifted over time. As with many things, as we got older as teachers, we were a little less set in our ways, a little less insistent that, no, it's just about mastery or it's just about this or the one strategy is going to work. And we've tried to be really thoughtful and consider how can we bring these approaches together? How can we try to find a hybrid approach that addresses as many of these concerns as possible? So we thought we'd share those and hopefully you will find them helpful. One of the biggest ones that we have found helpful is making use of category and weighted grading. I don't know how, I know there are teachers who just put everything in one big pot. I think that it's very easy in that case for students to, like Kate was talking about, pick and choose what they want to do versus what they don't want to do. And it can be confusing and frustrating for them too, to see, I did all these assignments. Why isn't my grade going up or down? Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a big project or a big test and it didn't affect my grade that much. I think it's a way that you can have a participation category that will allow them to get a little bit of a boost and reward effort, but at the same time, pull out tests and essays and say, these really are worth more.
And I think some teachers would say, oh, I don't do category weighting. I just change the point value. Then what you're doing is
weighting.
Just make it easy and make yourself categories, because then it makes it clear to students what you value.
Yeah.
So for us, writing was always worth notably more than all the other categories. And that wasn't a decision that we made as teachers. That was our department's
decision. Though we would have made the same decision.
Would have made the same decision anyway. I don't know very many English teachers who wouldn't say that writing is the most important thing that you do. But that made it clear to students, okay, what is the most important thing that we do in here? It's anything that goes in the writing category. And then what's the second most important thing? That is what should be reflected in your grades. And there was a point in time where the second most important thing was assessments.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where we didn't really think that was the most important thing that we did anymore. So that shifted. And it's, again, that idea of the parameters that you set for your grades show what you value. Those categories show it as well.
Yeah.
And when you don't weight the categories, it's harder to see what's as important.
Yeah. And I think we view our curriculum and we say, oh, obviously, like, this is the main lesson of the day. And then we have our bell ringer. Sometimes when it all gets blended together, the students don't recognize that, no, that was a bell ringer. Not that they know what that is necessarily, but a first chapter Friday Nearpod is not as important as these reading comprehension questions. I'm glad you did 500 typing club lessons. That's not that important compared to other parts of the curriculum. So it's good for them to know that as well.
And then another thing that we did, and I think that this one was really a significant game changer for us, was we had graded homework assignments, and those were typically things that we thought were important, important enough for us to take the time to actually grade them versus credit, no credit, where did students maybe need to do those assignments in order to be able to do some of the more difficult things that were worth more of their grade, or did they need to be done as part of like skill building and things like that? Yes. Is it worth me taking my time, which is limited, to go through and actually score the proficiency and score the effort and
make sure no one cheated.
Make sure nobody cheated. Probably not. So I'm going to put that in the participation category. Mm-hmm. And at first, parents, and I think it's not on the fault of any parents, but I think historically, a participation grade has meant like, how many times did my child raise their hand in class and verbally participate? But really, what we're looking at in terms of participation is, are you engaged in the class?
Are you participating in what we're doing that day?
Yeah. And those things are not necessarily tied to how well they're done.
Yeah.
There are some things in there that are tied to how well they're done, but not everything is. Something is that they do it or they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Or they mostly did it. But whereas homework is, for us, homework classwork.
Yes, I was like, we should say that because we've done a whole thing about how we didn't like to do homework.
Yeah, so we don't really do homework. But historically, what would be considered that, that's not a skill building activity, but is more a demonstration of, this is what I know and am able to do with this particular piece of material, was worth us putting the time into grade. That's going to be worth more because it's showing me more. I need it. It's more than just were you here today and did something.
Paid attention.
But are you understanding?
Yeah. And
I think that those are things that we used to assess and put in a test quiz category, but is maybe not where that's best placed because we want to be able to influence and reteach or explain to a student, this is what you should be doing. Here's an opportunity to go back and fix it. And they do, where a test, I think, is just we have it in our brains once
it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
Because usually that's what a test is.
There's more opportunity, like you said, to course correct as we go. Another way we tried to kind of balance this a little bit was by, especially in, well, in a writing assignment, in a graded homework classwork assignment on a project, giving some points for formatting or required content so that there was an effort element, but then having the majority of the score be on the quality. Now, we did learn that our math skills, we needed to reset those point values quite a few times. So it's definitely worth doing the math and kind of thinking through, if I have a student who did exactly what they were supposed to, but they struggle as a writer, what do I think that merits? Let me make sure the points add up to that, because we realized that if you're not careful, you can really overinflate grades with what is meant to be a help can become too much of a help.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing is a grade floor. And we mentioned this earlier for completed work, but not for missing work. And I think that there's a difference between a student who attempts the work and does poorly and a student who doesn't do it at all. If you're not willing to play the game, I think I was talking to somebody about like comparing it to like a soccer game. And if you don't even get on the field to kick the ball, you're not playing the game. But if you're out there running up and down the field, doing your best and you didn't do well, I don't want to penalize you all the way down to the zero for that.
Yeah.
For the student who refused to get on the field, do I want to penalize them for it?
Absolutely. Yes.
Will I give them the opportunity to make it up or whatever? Of course.
Yeah.
But with that particular assignment, if you refuse to get on the field, I'm not going to say, oh, well, you staying at home and refusing to come to the field to play is the same as the person who was running up and down the field and they
just had a bad day.
Had a bad day, or they just aren't good at this particular game.
Those are very different things.
Yeah.
And the last thing that we came up with, I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about grades, but that idea of balancing assignments. Yes, we want writing to be the biggest part of our grade. It should be an AP class. We wanted it to be writing that modeled what they'd be asked to do on the AP exam. But every grading period, every semester, we would try to include a quote unquote easy assignment in there to give them a chance to do well on something they might struggle with. Certainly, it wasn't the bulk of that category, but we gave them a group project or a presentation or something that would just give those students who are running up and down the field, just not good at it, a chance to at least not fail.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope something we said resonated with you, that you have something you can put to work in your classroom or something you can think about as you approach changing your classroom grading policies or having a conversation with somebody about why you believe in something and don't believe in another. If you have a dilemma you'd like to talk to us about or you'd like to hear us talk about, email us at hello@threeheads.works. If you want to be notified of our next upload, be sure to follow us. Chat soon.
Bye.